This week on American Parlor Songbook, we'll go in search of ancient aliens, cryptozoology, and more as we investigate the mysterious world. With musical guest, Gene Averro Jr. and the family.
Hey, Julie, watch this. I'm going to move your script with my mind.
You can really do that?
Yes, I've been practicing all morning.
Wow.
Here goes. Are you ready? Did you see it? It moved.
You blew it.
No, I succeeded.
No, you just moved it with your breath.
Now, that was the wind of telekinesis.
No, the wind of turkey sandwich with cheddar.
Nutrition is important for telekinesis, Julie. You have to be nice and full.
You're full of it, all right.
Sometimes, Julie, we're just afraid of what we don't understand.
Like how you're afraid of basic logic?
I am not.
R2?
D2.
What does Star Wars have to do with this?
The Force.
Oh, you mean like how you force the listeners to hear this garbage?
Yes. Now wonder as I make them change the station with the power of thought.
No, wait. From Joshua Tree, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now on the other microphone, the sarcophagus to my mummy, Julie Van Dusen. Close your eyes. Let go of all conscious thought. Now reach out with your feelings. See the silver become liquid in your hand. Guide its molecules through space and bend the spoon. All right, now open your eyes. Did you do it? No? Well, I did. Took a pair of pliers and some torque, but I bent that scoopy mother. Bending the spoon is the easy part. The hard part is eating the soup afterward. Now, that's telekinesis. Telekinesis, you remember that? It was huge in the 1970s. All those crazy hippies running around bending spoons and moving things with their minds. I think they stopped the war and ran plumb out of ideas. Hey, I know, psychic karate. I know, I sure tried and tried and tried. It made a real impression on me. No, an actual impression. My mother threw the broken spoons at me. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. You know who built the pyramids, right? I'll give you a hint. They have long, funny faces. Not Rick Ocasek. They come from up there. You know, aliens. They're actually from a strange world not so far away. It's called Fresno. You don't believe me, right? Well, I saw it with my own two eyes. These crazy-looking things, they survive by inhaling blue crystals. They move at hyper speeds, and well, they only sleep once a month. They can't stop. There's pyramid after pyramid. I just stood there watching it. I know. I think his name was Ed. He pulled everything out of his trailer and just stacked it all into neat little triangles. I asked him flat out if he built the pyramids. He scratched his sticky bald head and he looked around the yard and said, I think so. That's hard science there. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. We're through the looking glass here, people. One Rubidoux Marchant talking to three Cuban dysenteries just 2 weeks before that calm November day in Dallas. Our beloved president, he went rolling through the streets that day without a care in his mind. La-dee-da. And you mean to tell me one magic bullet, soars through the air, hits him, turns left, hits the senator, turns again, hits his wrist, and then vanishes into thin air? Sure. There's more holes in that plot than in the man on the moon Swiss cheese. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. Whoa. Don't move. Look right there. Shh, 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 shh. Oh my God, look at him. Oh, we're gonna be rich. Oh, he's majestic, all dirty and covered in hair. Not Danny DeVito, Sasquatch. You know, the big man, Boggy Boone, the missing link, Bigfoot. You think I'm dumb? Of course I'm prepared. You think I'm going to trek all the way out here looking for that cryptozoological jerk and not bring the means to prove it? Just let me get out my one-pixel potato camera here and stay still, big buddy. Just give it 30 seconds to sink it. A minute tops, I promise. Well, there he goes. All I've got to show for it is one grainy, out-of-focus stinker. Reminds me of the time that I stumbled onto Chupacabra and the Loch Ness Monster. They're out there just floating on the lake, talking about old times, and all I've got is a lousy sketch pad. I just gave up and threw the pencil at him. Stuck right in Nessie's trachea, Chupacabra gave me the finger on the way down, and they both just sunk under and disappeared forever. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. There I was, alone on a 3-week voyage from Maryland to Bermuda. Just me, the open sea, and a bottle of yo-ho-ho and a bottle of yo-ho-ho. I was 3 sails to the sheets. Drunk as a sailor on shore leave, but on a boat. As I crossed the somethingth meridian, the compass began to spin. I looked to the stars to get my bearings, but well, they were spinning too. The wheel throttled left, the wheel throttled right. I was tossed to the deck and smack. Everything went white. Now for centuries, they've speculated. What is on the other side of that mysterious divide? Another time? Another world? Hell itself? Well, I'll tell you what, Leonard Nimoy. I entered the mouth of that 3-sided cipher and plooped out its equilateral backside. And let me tell you, you pointy-eared freak, the Bermuda Triangle is no cakewalk in a pie factory. My eyes slowly opened. I reached up and touched the goose egg on the back of my head. Oh! And then everything came into focus. And there, strewn across the white desert landscape, ships, planes, pyramids, like they'd fallen out of the sky. Just little baby poi toys in the sandy box. And then I hear a voice. Arrah, Mr. Houston, arrah, come with me. Oh, that's right, J.F. Flipping K, in the astral flesh. I followed him along the dunes, 20, 30 miles. We crest a big lumpy hill, and then I see it. A shining city of marzipan. Arrah, reach out and take a bite, Houston. Arrah, your wildest dreams are inside the creamy flavors of my astral kingdom. I couldn't believe it. I turned to Kennedy and I said, Johnny, toothy Johnny Biggers, tell it to me straight. What in the name of In Search of Season 1, Episode 4 is this Looney Tunes place? He lifts his finger. Arrah, and just as he's about to give me the answer, the Loch Ness Monster and Chupacabra fall from the sky and crush him. I think all hope is lost, but let me tell you, that tenacious lunatic crawls his way out and starts to give Chupa mouth to mouth. Chupa sits up, Nessie opens her eyes, Kennedy raises a bent spoon into the air, and then whiz, the magic bullet crosses the dimensional divide, takes a right turn, bends the spoon straight, and whacks all 3 of them. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. Well, we've got a great show for you here today. We're going to investigate the paranormal and go in search of the truth. Stick around, it's going to get neat. In search of when, in search of why, in search of where, in search of who, in search of lies, in search of truth. Our musical guest tonight is a great band from right here in Joshua Tree, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Averro Jr. and the Family.
Destroy this place with our thoughts now. Yeah. Maybe we could forget about all the things that keep us behind ourselves now. I was hoping that love could open the sky for both you and I now. So don't hold us down. but stand around. We wanna live. We're gonna make it past this great shakedown now. We wanna lift up our lives, wanna reach past the stars, wanna. We wanna nothing more. I can't explain the way I feel. I'm looking for something more, more than real. I wanna relieve this from my heart, so don't hold me down. Don't stand around. We're gonna make it even if we break down. Yeah. I was thinking before we go, destroy this place with our grief, with our needs. Maybe we could forget about all the bull we say we need, we need, we need. The sky for both, for you and I. Now, now stand around. We wanna live. We're gonna make it past this great shakedown. Now we wanna reach past the stars. Wanna lift up our lives. Wanna, we wanna nothing more. I can't explain the way I feel. I'm looking for something more. Leave this from my heart, so don't hold us down. We're gonna stand around. We're gonna make it, even if we break down. No, we wanna, we wanna, we wanna. Oh, I just can't explain it. The world's inside our hands now. Oh, oh, I just can't explain it. From my heart, so don't hold us down, but stand around. We're gonna make it even if we break down. I was thinking before we go, destroy this place with our grief and with our need.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook, and you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air, so just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and you are...
Up Close.
Whoa. centuries, my next guest has intrigued and mystified the public at large. He has wowed us with his casual walk-bys, his blurry snapshots, and his impressive footprints. Please welcome Bigfoot.
It's pronounced Foot.
Foot.
Yes.
Foot. Oh, all right. Big. May I call you Big?
Well, I prefer the unabbreviated, please.
Big Son.
B. Bigs B.
Okay. Who is Bigs B Foot?
It's Foot.
Foot?
Yes.
Mr. Foot, what makes you tick?
Oh, berries mostly. The occasional cake. I've been trying to cut down, though. They say a moment on the lips and a lifetime on the hips.
All right, all right. Let's go deeper. Tell me. What drives you?
Oh, I don't drive.
Inside.
Especially inside.
The bottom of your soul.
I'm barefoot.
Soul.
A fish?
The spirit.
I'm spiritual, but I wouldn't say I'm religious.
Was your mother religious?
She was a monkey.
So, oh, you believe in evolution.
In an existential sense, I believe that we're to evolve. It's a little broad, but I think our purpose is to become what we really are.
And you are?
37.
Married?
Single.
Looking?
Asking?
My cousin Tina has a great personality.
Well, I'll pass.
She's hairy.
No, thank you.
Sorry, Tina. I tried.
You said before the interview that we'd be able to talk about more intellectual things.
Tina is quite the intellectual.
No, thank you.
Aren't she cooks?
Please.
Supportive.
Ms.
Sensitive.
Veneers,
41. Short.
Please.
Accountant. Shy. Last chance.
No, thank you.
Going?
Please.
Going?
No, please.
Okay, what is important to you?
Well, I am concerned with immigration.
Migration.
Immigration. Well, I'm not for a wall or exclusion or anything. I feel there has to be like a common sense solution that we
Does
can
that
all...
make you angry?
Concerned, really. I think that we could work together, though.
Want smash?
No, I would like to have a better understanding.
Want rip off arms and run into woods, hide in caves.
Miss Veneers, please.
No understand human beings. What is smash?
Miss Veneers, please. I want to be taken seriously.
Are you misunderstood?
Yes.
Do people misunderstand you?
Yes, they do.
Did your father understand you?
No, he didn't.
Big want smash.
No.
Big want run.
No, please.
Big want kill.
Stop, please.
Big want love.
I've got so much love to give.
My work here is done. I'm Sashay Veneers, and I made Bigfoot cry. We'll return with Tom Cruise.
Actor Leonard Nimoy was born in St. Louis, Missouri in 1987, the child of an immigrant factory worker and a rubber sponge.
Wait, hold on a second. There's no way that's accurate. Do you have the right page?
There is no Julie, only Larry!
Great. Well, if you listen to the program, you know that Julie is possessed by a demon, an ineffectual one by the name of Larry Wilson.
Larry Wilson? Talking head.
Oh, like the band?
No, just a head.
Severed one?
On your television.
Oh, a talking head like on CNN or something.
The History Channel. Oh,
you mean like those shows where everything is aliens?
All of your pathetic human history programs will be ruined when blood rains from the sky and his demonic holiness rises on the seventh day.
Oh, Larry, hold on. It's supposed to be aliens. You ruin the History Channel with aliens.
No hellfire?
I'm afraid it's aliens only.
Oh, hellfire, it's kind of my thing.
Well, if you're going to get on history, you're going to have to go with aliens. At the very least, the Illuminati.
Well, all right. Can do.
Okay, try it out. Here.
Okay, all right. Great.
Okay, so you're on a show called Ancient Astronauts. A medium close-up, the bookshelf in the background out of focus. The narrator is delivering some actual history and...
what few people know about George Washington is that not only was he our first president, but he was also...
Well, that's it. Bring it
an
on.
Alien.
Oh, bring it home now. Come on.
Looking at historical text, it is clear that Washington was sent from outer space.
Yes, tied up with a
bow.
To
warn the people about the coming apocalypse when all of your loved ones will burn in Satan's unholy fire for 1,000 years.
All right, that's enough. I'm pulling the plug, buddy. There's
forget it. You know what? I'm just going to go back to hell.
Look, it's okay. You're vile, you're venal, pandering, obnoxious.
I'm positive there's a place for you somewhere on television.
You really mean that?
Sure. I mean, you've even got funny teeth. What about TLC?
Oh, reality.
Right. Well, so what we need to do is get you into a pageant or something. Or wait, no, I've got it. Dance competitions. That's what we'll get the musical guest up here. They'll play a song and you showcase your moves, Larry. Come on up, guys.
If my heart wants to go deeper, then I will go deeper as well. Something I thought I had to buy, but they don't sell that way. If my music wants me to go deeper, then I will go deeper as well. Something I thought I had to buy, but no, they don't sell down. Oh, I'm gonna find me a love that hasn't been broken. Find me a love that hasn't been spoken. Find me that God who ain't gonna judge me when I've done wrong. Yeah, when I've done wrong. My heart wants to go deeper than I will go swimming. Something I thought I had to buy, but no, they don't teach their why. If my music wants me to go deeper, then I will go swimming. Find me a heart that hasn't been broken. Find me a love that hasn't been spoken. Find me that God, she ain't gonna judge me when I've done wrong. Yeah, when I've done wrong. We all done wrong. We all done wrong. We all done wrong. Yeah, we all done wrong. But it's all good. Go deeper than then I will go deeper, yes. Well, something I thought I had to buy, but they don't sell their way. My music wants me to go deeper, then I will go swimming. Something I thought I had to yell while no one was listening. Oh, I'm gonna find me a heart that hasn't been broken. Find me a love that hasn't been spoken. Find me that God who ain't gonna judge me when I done wrong. Yeah, when I done wrong.
Yeah. Nice.
How about that? Gene Averro Jr. and the family.
Thank you so much.
That's incredible. Every Sunday night, we'd gather around the TV to watch That's Incredible and John Davidson's upside-down smile. He'd showcase America's most amazing things, at least for an 8-year-old. You know, hauntings, mysteries, Rubik's Cube, geniuses, grandpa skydivers, monkeys who smoke, and well, men who can move pencils with their mind. Even my dad would watch, although his interest was more in pointing out all the holes in the story. Now, if that monkey was rigged with a smoking tube, well, you can bet my old man would spot it. No, Mr. Biggle smokes, and the little girl can talk backwards, and the blind man can smell the traffic lights, and most of all, that guy can move pencils with his mind. You know, after the dust had settled from the hippie movement, I guess personal power became a thing. Maybe they set themselves up for it with those big expectations. You know, we're going to change the world, and then, well, nothing much changed, so they said, well, I guess I'll change my perception of the world. The gurus cashed in on it, the karate classes filled up, and well, the self-help presses whirred into motion. There was pyramid power walking on coals. Somehow all that personal power turned them into yuppies, I guess. In my defense, though, I was only 8, and falling for that stuff didn't lead me down the dark path to mergers and acquisitions. No, it led me to my bedroom to practice moving pencils with my mind. Every movie, story, comic book, and schoolyard tale at the time seemed like it was about something supernatural. And I guess there was a real run on Ouija boards after The Exorcist, and we found my brother's old one in the closet there. It held weekly seances. Is there anyone there? Yes. Are you a girl? Yes. How old are you? 10? Are you my sister, moving the pointer around the board and acting surprised? Well, of course. One week, we even set up tents in the backyard to watch for UFOs. My mother allowed it after weeks of me ruining perfectly good plates of mashed potatoes, you know, sculpting them into Close Encounter-style mountains. No, Mom, I saw it in a dream. No, you saw it in a Spielberg movie. Now eat the potatoes. So that kid there on That's Incredible, he could move things. With the power of telekinesis, he could move things and turn the pages on phone books and of course, those pencils. He'd balance them on the edge of the table there, and he'd concentrate, furrow his brow, mime with his hands, let the tension build a little, and there it goes, John Davidson's upside-down smile in approval. The pencil moved, my father snarfed. So why does it have to be on the edge of the table? To balance the energy, stupid. Look, I'm going to show you. Just hand me the pencil. I'll just concentrate. Focus, that's what I... Okay, I'll mime with the hands and nothing. Just give me some time. I'm going to go to the bedroom, and I'm not coming out until I can move things with my mind. So there. Well, I fell asleep that night after a few hours of intense practice. Well, the most I managed to move was my father's eyes into a giant roll as he passed the bedroom. All day at school, too, back of the class, pencil on the edge of the desk, just willing it to move. I guess it was a popular episode because, well, there were at least 3 other telekinetics in the class. We met at recess to trade tips. Now, you got to believe in God for it to work. No, you have to eat carrots. Whatever it was, we weren't getting it. The thing with grade school in the early 80s was that, Well, the very same personal power hippies, you know, the ones who weren't cunning enough to become yuppies, well, they became grade school teachers. And we were taught by those lunatics. You think your Depression-era nuns or your current disgruntled Gen X teachers are grumpy? Well, how about you try on some let-down world changers? Put them through the self-help ringer and plop them out the other side behind a desk at a city school. Usually after teaching you a folk song, they'd snap and throw something. And then they'd finish with a good cry in the hall. It's okay, Mrs. Hansen. You did it. You did. You moved the eraser all the way across the room. And after a day of back-of-the-room practice and some scream attacks from the teacher, the bell rang, and I made for home. You know, I'm just going to keep at it, eat a stack of carrots, and, well, I'll hitch my bets with a Bible verse, and then I'm going to stare the heck out of a yellow number two. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And as tenacious as I was on the for side, my dad was equally so on the against. So as I sat in class, wasting the taxpayer's dollar, Dad was at home at his desk, hanging threads, weighing pencils, and hoping to crush my childish beliefs. I open the door, and there he is, something between smugness and glee, at the kitchen table with a pencil. You want to see something? Look, I know I said it was a hoax, but, well, he was really selling it. I know I told you not to waste your time, but, well, I couldn't shake it. I practiced and I practiced. Let me tell you, son, it is possible. He furrowed his brow. He hunched. He raised his hands. And oh, my carrots. He moved the thing. It turned. I saw it. My father has the force. And then he reached up and he pulled my hand between his face and the pencil. I could feel it. The energy. Or, wait a second. That's not energy. It's peanut butter breath. And it was true. It would come out a few weeks later that the old man had nailed it. That kid on That's Incredible, he was just blowing on stuff and calling it magic. Still pretty incredible, though. You want to move it, you use your mind, and you come up with a good scheme. Now, that's incredible. So I blew a phone book page, and well, I gave my dad an upside-down smile.
Close your eyes and open your mind. With a couple of tries, hours and hours, playing catch with the moon, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast.
Now, as part of the American Parlor Lecture Series, noted cryptozoologist and monster hunter, Emil Konk.
Monsters. Everyone have big idea in head of what is monster. Maybe you picture standard-issue Harry Wolfman snarling under full moon, huh? Or could be more Lovecraftian abomination. Slimy, with empty eyes, tentacles, and mouth like bear trap. Both good, valid example of beasts that I have run into many time on the job. As expert in field of monster slaying, I know where I speak. And I speak of things most of you like to believe are not real. Bumpin' night type stuff that freeze your spine and make you wish you had on a pair of astronaut undies. Big things that would like nothing more than to eat your face and wear you as necktie. Small things, too. So tiny they can scurry into your ear and make unknowably bad noise by the rubbing of their hairy mandibles. Cause brain to ring like Firebell possessed by Yoko Ono. But some of you out there may have more philosophical idea of what is monster. Like maybe you in the man is biggest monster of all camp, huh? Sound pretty clever, but I can tell you, anyone who think man is worst monster has never met an angry Balor or seen a friend swallowed and regurgitated by a Yarama. It not pretty scene. Man as monster? No. I see news. I know there are plenty of bad dude, some not right in head, some real nasty, and some who just don't follow simple Will Wheaton code of conduct. But my friend, even the very scary human is still, sad to say, totally human. Acting like bloodthirsty beast of nightmare does not magically make you supernatural threat. Remember, just because you swim like duck does not mean you are a duck. You need the look with the feather and bill, and of course, you need the quack. So don't be labeled some guy monster for monstrous act. It'd give him way too much credit. Now, if he also covered in fur and can throw your Toyota 30 feet in air, then yeah, you best to call me after you contact AAA. We must also, of course, address the monster you cannot see crowd. I'm not speaking of the cloaking Sigbin. No, those sneaky buggers are totally real. No, I mean you listeners out there who may be saying to yourself, but Professor Konk, isn't greatest monster fear itself? That is whole big rucksack of stupid. You think being afraid of troll bludgeoning you to grisly end is worse than night when big guy actually show up with a tree limb? I beg to differ. People like to waste so much time avoiding simple truth with complicated nonsense that have nothing to do with reality. Field of monster slang? No different. I got call once from girl who worked for some guy named Ted. Ted talks, she says. Like this real impressive to me. Great, I say. So does most average two-year-old. So what? She go on and on, ask me to share experience of monster slang with crowd from the Silicon Valley. I ask how learning to suck bog fairy poison out of your navel will help your average tech nerd. She have no good answer, but say, maybe I find life lesson in odd career path. Okay, life lesson. If you can be anything else at all and are not right at this very moment being chased by monster, do not become monster slayer. Do not try to find, capture, or fight monster. You will lose, and very likely, you will die. See, Ted, that not even take 1 minute I give to American Parlor Songbook for free. So, forget PowerPoint show, big letters to spell your name and crazy ticket price. Perhaps now, APS listeners, you be expecting me to share a pretty scary monster tale of high adventure? Maybe start with creaking door sound? Come in. Welcome. Guess what? I am not E.G. Marshall. I don't want to disappoint, but my life as Monster Slayer has not been glamorous three-act thrill ride. It has also not made me, I am now making quotation marks with my fingers, all the better for it. Now, it's popular to say that what don't kill you can make you stronger, but most time it's given me throbbing pain when I walk, sit down, or sneeze. I've been bitten, impaled, masticated, digested, and passed by more hideous atrocities than you can well imagine. But if you would like a true tale of monsters, I will tell you oldest one I know. One cold year, a man left his home in search of beast that ate his family. He found it. The end. Good evening. And good luck.
How about another song from Gene Avero Jr. and the Family?
My brother, he only talks to my daddy when he wants something, when he needs something. But my sister, she been isolated and needing nothing but her head. And my mother, well, she been crying, but no one can really understand it. And my heart aches for everyone in this. Cause we all just want it good in the end, good in the end, good in the end, baby. See, so we've been isolated, but no one can stop us again. And my heart aches for someone, cause you know exactly where they've been. When you wake up, you'll be enough. Cause you know easily, but no one will stop us again. Yeah, my brother, he only talked to my daddy when he wants something, when he needs something. But my sister, she been a slave and needing nothing but a friend. And my mother, well, she been crying, but no one could really understand why. And my heart aches for everyone in this. Don't we all just want, we all just don't want it good in the end, good in the end, good in the end, baby. So we've been up so late, and no one can stop us again, Lord. And my heart aches for someone, cause you know exactly where to be. And when you wake up, you be enough, cause you know exactly where you stand. You know exactly where you've been, right? Oh, you've been a sunlit, and no one can stop us again, stop us again. Stop us again, 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 no. Oh, 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 oh. One, two, three, four.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. Thanks to our guests Gene Jr. and the family, and to Kit Passhold and Rob Mills for sending us Emile Conk and that great lecture there. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company and presented by KVCR. Information about the program is available at AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Check it out. Maybe we'll see you at a show. What's going on?
Wake up, Martha.
What is it? It's bloody 4 a.m.
I've had an out-of-body experience.
I'd want out of that body, too.
Oh, I've seen the future.
Did it involve me getting some sleep?
No, it involved me getting what I deserve.
A prison sentence?
No, immortalized.
Like a vampire?
No, in cement.
Did you borrow money from the Carpellis again?
Listen, you moron. Just let me tell you about my prophecy.
I'm all ears.
Oh, no. They only look so big because your hair is so thin. No,
I mean, I'm listening.
Then shut up and listen.
My lips are sealed.
All right, you're still talking.
Sorry.
Shh.
All right, just tell me about your little dream.
No. It was no dream. It was real. I left my body and traveled into the future. I sat up in bed, just as real as I am right now. It was pitch black. I lifted out of the bed and floated up. Wendell, I saw you lying there from above.
This seems familiar.
Suddenly, a light filled my vision, and there I was. A crowd gathered around. Cameras, fans, dance. Oh, I was getting immortalized, Wendell.
Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yes.
You.
Why not?
Mother, it's for people of a certain notoriety.
I'm as notoriety as I come.
Are you sure you didn't travel backwards in time?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, Mother, those footprints, they're generally taken at the height of one's fame.
Well, then I'll make a comeback.
At your age?
I'm only in my 50s.
In dog years.
Hollywood years.
I do believe your current face is only 22.
I don't look a day over 21.
The point is, Martha, you may have missed the window.
Nonsense. It was real. I traveled into the future and saw them honoring me. I could even feel the cement between my toes. Oh, my God! Wendell! Wendell, I can still feel it! It's proof! Look!
Oh,
look.
You've lost it.
Look!
All right. All aboard the crazy train. I'll just turn on the light here and we'll take... Wait a second. What in the world
I told you!
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
No, it's kitty litter.
Cement.
Did you by any chance take a pink pill before bed?
Do you think it opened up a portal?
What happened the last time you took a pink one?
I woke up in the front seat of the car.
In a fountain.
So?
So the pink ones make you sleepwalk.
And?
And you sleepwalked into the kitty litter.
What about the crowd?
Well, if I had to guess, I would say the coat rack, the mop, and the cat.
That explains a mayor licking my hand.
Well, that solves it then. Mayor Kitty in the closet with the mop. Case closed and good night.
It was a sign.
A sign you should stop with the pink pills.
The universe's way of telling me to go back to work.
The universe is not talking to you.
I'm just more in tune. You couldn't spot a sign if it walked up and clobbered you.
There are no signs.
You are boring.
I am practical.
I know what I saw. If it wasn't the future, I'll make it so.
How are you going to do that?
I'll visionaire it.
You'll what?
Visionaire. Randall was going on about it at dinner.
Randall has a pet iguana and believes there was no moon landing.
He is a medium.
I'd say more like an extra large.
He has a perfect record with his predictions.
Well, did he predict the kitty litter?
No, he saw great things for me this year. Then he told me about vision boards.
Boards?
Yes, yes. You take a board and you pin pictures to it, things you want. And you just look at it every night. And they materialize.
You can't just will things into existence.
Oh, just watch me.
You're only going to be disappointed.
Give me a board. I need a board.
Do I look like I have a board?
All right, I'll use a mirror.
Put a picture of me sleeping on there.
I'll put one of you begging for forgiveness when I say I told you so. Now, where are the photos?
I don't suspect we have any photos of the sidewalk outside Grauman's Chinese.
All right, then this pen and some paper.
You're going to sketch it, are you?
Well, how hard can it be? A few people, a theater, a mayor, me right there, a few curves, and perfect.
Oh, which one is you?
The beautiful one.
With the balloons and your hands on the ground.
Those are feet, and I'm standing in it.
And the cement.
Of course. Now, I have to focus.
Stare all you want, Martha. Life doesn't work that way.
Envisioning.
Ridiculous.
There I am. Oh, so gorgeous. Sunny day. All of the press. I step forward and voila! Immortal. Read it and weep.
Martha, don't you remember the last time that Randall roped you in?
You mean the crystals?
There's thousands of dollars worth of it, and no amount of rubbing brought you any such luck.
Maybe I didn't believe hard enough.
There's no magic oil, no dowsing, nothing that charlatan can sell you that is going to put your feet on that walk. Well, you just need to accept things as they are.
But I don't want to.
And I don't want my highest charting composition to be Disco Chicken. But it's the way that the cookie crumbled.
I don't want it to crumble.
The crumbs didn't fall so badly for us, Martha.
Oh, look at me, all dried up, grasping at psychic straws. Oh, Wendell, I am a failure.
Yes, you are.
Well, don't rub it in.
No, Martha. You fail because, well, you fail to see what you do have.
A few years left.
A few good years, Martha. And more than busloads of girls before you who wish they had half the breaks you did. The middle wasn't so bad, darling. Think about it. You did what you loved. You may not be an immortal legend, well, but you did punch some in the face. That's something. Most importantly, Martha, you had friends. You had fun. You had excitement. And you had...
I had you.
Yes, and I you. And well, that's more than any stone footprint or sidewalk plaque.
Well, I did get the Palm Springs star.
See, not so bad. Well, I had Disco Chicken.
It was pretty catchy.
And a beat.
But not your best one.
No.
No, not by a mile.
Well, and what was that, dear?
The one that made me feel like I was the brightest star in the sky.
Ah, your song.
Yes, dear.
Now that was Destiny.
Oh, sing it for me now, won't you? Make me feel like I'm the most important thing in the world.
Well, you are, dear, to me.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.